Hillbilly America, and this is Uncle Sam with Music and the Truth Until Dawn. Right now, I've got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network, a radio station focused on growing indomitable all-American 21st century liberty. This live episode of the Patriot Power Hour is brought to you by Ready-Made Resources. Plan, prepare, preserve with ReadyMadeResources.com. Now, let's welcome our hosts. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran, and Future Dan, the editor-in-chief of the most original news radar on the planet, FutureDanger.com.
We are live. We are back. Patriot Power Hour, Season 7 premiere. So glad to be back. This is Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran, my co-host, Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. It's July 17th, 2019. We're in the middle of a hot summer. We were off for a couple weeks, and we have pretty stunning news that transpired.
We got a lot. All it runs the gamut, so we're not going to really mess around with different things today. We're going to be hard-firing, hitting things left and right. But this is the Season 7 premiere, so very happy to be entering the summer. You know, this is kind of when stuff... You go from the doldrums of summer to real big escalation in the fall generally. So we'll see how it progresses the next few months here on Patriot Power Hour. So how was your 4th of July? How, you know, you got a little bit of break too. How was yours? I went to Colorado. It was super nice.
So watch the Trump military celebration on the mall and the president speaking and the entire firestorm that he just provoked by it was you know, the type of low-level noise that distracts from what really is terrible news on occasion. But it's this non-stop, constant political hum in the background of what the Speaker of the House and what the Senate is saying and Congress people are saying. We don't usually talk about that stuff deeply on Patriot Power Hour, but boy, is it just humming along. And the 4th of July, you asked about it, so I told you. You know, Trump getting there, and I think he managed to get order of the army to put 4 armored vehicles near the monument, near the Lincoln Monument, right? And it kind of, to me, is a display to the entire world that at least there's this portion of the federal government, the Department of Defense, that will follow orders, no matter how much many members at the upper echelons may or may not want to have taken tanks over there. They still follow orders, unlike the DOJ, unlike the FBI, unlike numerous other elements of the federal government. Trump at least demonstrated on the 4th of July that much of the government will do what he says.
At least in that regard. But I was down near the D.C. area. I saw Air Force One coming in. That was kind of neat. Saw some Cobra attack helicopters. Assume they were Cobra, maybe what else? I don't know. Anyway, point is,
pretty sure they fly Cobras.
Yeah,
Apaches.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Cobras are the old like Vietnam era, like right after I met the Apache. But you could definitely tell they weren't Blackhawks from 3,000 feet. They were pretty high up there. They were pretty cool. Anyway, though, 4th of July is good for me as well. Good family time. Went to a wedding in Colorado this past week. A lot of fun. Actually, took a little visit to Aspen. Never been there. It was very bougie, and I don't want to visit ever again.
Really?
It felt like I was in an episode of Desperate Housewives. Just
really?
The clientele and the little lunch spot I went. It was downtown Aspen, not even the resorts.
Really?
I could just feel kind of just...
Everybody's rich.
oh yeah, not only that, but just the how shallow they were. And yeah. It just had me thinking, what would happen if these people had a power outage or a major economic collapse?
No, when I go to the West, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, I have always met people that made me fearful of living in large cities near them.
Exactly.
Because they really wouldn't be able to cope, let alone take care of themselves. They wouldn't be able to cope.
Right. I don't have much worry about these people in particular coming to take my things as an example, but I'm just, I don't know. It's just overall kind of not an epiphany, but I was just thinking, wow, these people live in their own bubble. You know, this is definitely the 1%. It's not the 1% of 1%.
And you know who would scream to high heaven for the most tyranny possible?
Yeah, them.
Exactly. To feed their butts if it all went down. You know, there would be a major section of our populace that would be screaming for government aid. Remember Katrina and George W. Bush and the supposed delayed response and the entire breakdown of Louisiana's state and local governments to fend for themselves, as every region has to when it's under natural disaster. Yeah, I'm not surprised to saw people in Aspen that fit the mold of probably not our most reliable self-reliance fellow.
Well, I was just thinking who could be there that day, or obviously all the nefarious banksters and their minions that have been to Aspen and other rich parts of Colorado over time. But anyway, you're driving through beautiful mountains, and then you see this huge hangar of private aircraft.
Sure.
There's not any United flights, really. I mean, there actually are a couple small ones, but generally speaking, private aircraft, tens of millions of dollars. Dozens of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I frequent Dulles Airport, and they have a very large private jet section. This was bigger, I think. It was crazy. It was huge. It's just row after row of $50, $100 million planes.
Learjets.
Yeah.
All the business class, yeah.
Super high level. So
speaking of people that –
back to reality. I'm back.
speaking of people that are of that set, one of their most famed members has really gone down since we were last on the air. Jeffrey Epstein, the convicted pedophile with major questions lingering about who, what, when, where, how, why he was doing what he possibly was doing with several well-known people and politicians. A former Israeli prime minister, Ehud Barak, is now, in the papers, having to, fend for the fact that he went to Lolita Island, private island in the Caribbean that Epstein would bring clients or friends and also underage prostitute girls. Bad scene. Want to get into that a little bit later on. Very mainstream people you know in their names. We'll get to this later in the show, who are now suggesting it was a state-sponsored act.
Yeah.
Like that's the interesting side. Whether that is true or not, I don't know.
Blackmail op.
But if it's true, how did it happen and what did it mean? Want to get into that.
Yeah, this is just the fact that this stuff's coming out, or not even coming out, because I've heard of this, and a lot of people had heard of this before, but the fact that maybe he will actually be held responsible for this, and maybe some people will go down burning. We'll see. I hope so. Anyone that committed a freaking sick crime like that. But yeah, we got to run the gamut of news here. I mean, we will get into the news blitz, but before we get into the news blitz, what was or what is the biggest news story on your radar in the last couple of weeks? Is it Epstein? I mean, that could turn out to be a freaking loose thread that takes a lot of people down. Maybe they'll still cover it up, whatever. But what has been the biggest story for you?
Yeah, I mean, we got Antifa throwing Molotov cocktails at ICE facilities. So especially in the summer, you got to keep your eye on civil unrest, civil violence, riots, protests. They tend to happen in summers, and we got fools doing stuff like that. Obviously, Deutsche Bank has moved on from what it once was to what it apparently needs to become. But whether that thing sparks off a bank run right in August for us is another hot topic we can get into later in the show.
Definitely. I want to talk about that for sure later on the show as well. So I will go ahead and segue real quick into the fact that we're in season 7, and the best way maybe to reach out to us, because we're going to be having a lot of guests on. hopefully in the next few months. But I also want to brag, before I do that, I was on an awesome show with Sean Carone in the last couple of weeks. And you can find, well, first off, follow me on social media. You've probably seen it already, but you want to go to find the Awakening Liberty show. I've reposted it on our Blog Talk Radio show website, so you can see the archive of my appearance. I was on there for an hour with a few of my old friends. So I'm going to get a couple of those back on the show as well. But we're here on season 7. Be sure to check out our entire archive throughout. And enough of a plug for now, but I wanted to get that out there before we kept going.
All right, all right. How about you? Last few weeks, what's striking you as the most salient, threatening pieces of news?
I don't know about salient and threatening, but we've been talking about crypto a lot. We've seen kind of a big knockdown. You know, we were starting to get excited that crypto was hitting 12, 13,000 last time we were on the air. It's now below 10,000, Bitcoin in particular. But the altcoins, Ethereum, Litecoin, et cetera, have taken a big hit, probably down 40% since we've last been on air. So that's definitely not salient and life-threatening per se. But on the flip side, we've seen Jerome Powell. We've seen, I forgot who it was exactly, but another one of the governors of the on the Federal Reserve Board. And we've also seen Mnuchin and several other prominent folks in the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, including Trump, talk about Bitcoin, generally in a negative light.
Yeah,
but who ever would have thought we would have a Treasury Secretary or a Federal Reserve Governor, let alone the Chairman, talk about Bitcoin? So just something to watch. I've always felt like that's kind of a thread that we'll continue to watch and continue to analyze on Patriot Power Hour.
They definitely spoke about it when it did 20,000. It did in the last few months of Obama's administration, it hit its all-time high.
Right.
All of the Obama administration people like that were had nothing kind to say about it.
Right, right. So I don't know. If it's, that's definitely not a game.
Bitcoin's holding above 9,600 tonight, though.
Yeah, we're at like 9,700, 9,697. So still up month over month, still up. I still think it's up year over year, even though I had a huge crash last year. Now I'm not predicting a huge bull market as I did predict a huge bear market in 2018. I am still thinking it's something worth checking out. Be careful, though. But, you know, I did. I'm not going to lie. I took a little bit of a nice break the last couple of weeks, too. So I have been following the news, but, we'll get into the news blitz here in a second. But nothing really freaking me out at this second, more than usual, I guess.
Yeah, it's all portends of future trends that may come of nothing. But, good to be back at it. This is Season 7 of the Patriot Power Hour. You're listening to it live this Wednesday, 7:14 p.m. Going into the break.
July 17th. Stick with us. Very quick break. We'll be right back with the Future Danger News Blitz. Cochran here. Hope you're enjoying the show. Now, here at the Patriot Broadcast Network, we're always doing our best to try to bring you unfiltered grassroots news and analysis. But guess what? We need your help. If you have questions or suggestions, if you want to be a guest or know someone who'd like to share their insights with us live on the air, please do reach out. You can find all of our contact information, social media, at blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Let us know how we can better our fight against the banks, or globalists, and their cabal. We need your help. Again, blogtalkradio.com Patriot Broadcasting Network, or even search Patriot Broadcasting Network on Google and look for our Don't Tread on Me logo. Keep up the good fight.
Stay right here for more of the Patriot Power Hour, the flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe.
Welcome back to the Patriot Power Hour, Season 7. Segment 2, Pitch Danger. Relentlessly pursuing news for the prepared. That's what we do. And here it is, column 1, Liberty. News blitzkrieg. All right, the president has now come out there and talked about Epstein, said, I was never there. Find out the people that went to the island. So he's out there saying it. There's news breaking today that somebody has an old tape of Epstein and Trump together talking about women. So this is going to go in many directions, potentially, and you might not know which one next, all right? And a picture appears. It's up on Future Danger right now. It's bizarre, but it's a blue-striped temple on Jeffrey Epstein's island. It's revealed. It's like a gold dome, little box square with blue stripes. It's freaky. Looks like you could drive a limousine right up inside and walk in, too. All right. Got half of U.S. adults already in the FBI's facial recognition database. They're just sucking them completely straight out of the DMVs, and they're doing it to crack down on the illegal immigration. So it's happening, and don't think that people who will not crack down on the illegal immigration 4, 6, 8 years from now won't also be just using all those pictures that the Trump administration just extracted to solve the very important problem of ending the massive inflow of the foreign invasion that's been officially invited. Column 2. Like I said earlier, a man with a rifle and incendiary devices attacks a Tacoma migrant detention center. He was shot dead. He wrote a manifesto. He said, I am Antifa. It's starting to get a little bit out of control with certain groups, especially in the Pacific Northwest, Tacoma. Western Pacific. Last week when we were out that, China launched 6 anti-ship ballistic missiles in the South China Sea. I can talk to you at length about how those are set up, what they're designed to do, and what the tactical, the operational strategic battle space for these kind of weapons in the Western Pacific are. Getting into that more later in the show. Europe's version of GPS suffered a major outage last I saw. They didn't quite know why. That is under the indicator global positioning. Satellites are disrupted. It's orange. Is happening. It didn't happen to ours, but it happened to the Europeans. Could be a test run by somebody. Alright? Threats against members of Congress are increasing, Capitol Police Chief says. You gotta keep an eye out for assassinations. They would go hand in hand with major civil unrest, potentially sparking both. Alright? China's also holding major military drills right across from Taiwan. It would be what some would think for them an easy take if they decide to have that fight, and when they mass forces, you got to keep an eye on it. Column 4, we've got a lot of 6.0 earthquakes, more than usual, usually ring of fire around the Pacific, a lot of them undersea, but they are 6.0, and that's the criteria we use to have them up in the indicator enormous earthquake smites. 6.0s on land often kill people. Alright, flooding South Central Asia has been severe. We got hundreds killed. Cholera ripping through war-torn Yemen. And today, the World Health Organization declared another Ebola health emergency. They have a outbreak that has not been contained in several months and lethal in the numbers of the low thousands. I believe it has not topped 2,000. We can check that, though. There's certainly an archive of Future Danger. All right. Bees dying in the United States, average colony loss last year, higher than average, and last winter, highest ever. Last winter, for some reason, the bees died. Column 3, coming into the expertise in the domain of my co-host, the Breaker of Banksters, news always sure to set him on fire. We got Fed chairman warning of, quote, unthinkable harm if debt ceiling isn't raised. Great article about the federal debt crisis that's coming on, marching to a federal debt crisis. You can see a graph that we placed in the indicator of how that curve has gone since 1790, projected through 2050, and it's ugly. All right. Treasury Secretary warns the debt ceiling could be hit in September. So Fed Chair, Treasury Secretary, basically telling Congress, you got to do this. And every time this happens, a lot of turmoil in Capitol Hill. But you eventually seem to always do it, but it is could be a problem. And you might start hearing about interesting maneuvers by the Treasury Department to now account for debt that it's not paying, but somehow forestalling by just saying something else for a little while. Meanwhile, banks holding loan loss reserves as low as they were in 2008, your standard run-of-the-mill meat and potato zero hedge article, right? Deutsche Bank clients are pulling $1 billion a day. That was 2 days ago. Out of that bank, I want to talk to my co-host about why that might be happening. And yes, cryptocurrency squashed. Already covered by my co-host in segment one. Treasury Secretary, quote, we will not allow digital asset service providers to operate in the shadows. Coming after Coinbase and other exchanges. Global debt hits. It's only $246 trillion. Now, Ben, 320% of world GDP is now borrowed, and developing debt hits an all-time high. And another neat article if you're interested in these, you know, somewhat obscure if you're not, you know, deeply researching these areas, topics in economics. But if you want to know what bond markets are doing and where they're heading, good article. The black hole engulfing world's bond markets. Get into that, and you may see a trend that there's very firm evidence of an unstable foundation in our economy and our finances. What say you, Mr. Cochran?
All right, so there's a ton that actually reminded me of all the other articles.
Unpack that.
I've not covered. There was a lot that happened since we've last been on air. I'm going to focus on the economics aspect right now, and then when we get into the second half of the show, we'll cover the rest. Jeez, I don't even know if we're going to get through all of it. There is a lot. But I want to get focus on the debt, and here are a few stats that I actually brought out to
nice.
Sean Corona and his show.
Nice.
So if you don't want to actually go back and listen to the archive, this is what I covered on his show. First and foremost, let's see here, U.S. national debt. This is the top line everyone talks about, $22.4 trillion. You know, I was actually in Manhattan in 2014 or 15. I remember seeing that they had the national debt clock right next to Madison Square Garden. No, it was at like 18 at that time. So we've gone from 18 to 22 in just like the past 5 years, which is about right, about $1 trillion per year. And it really hasn't come down. In fact, it might even be increasing with Trump, if not about the same as Obama. So just about $800 billion
like
to $1 trillion
increasing.
A year. It is now. It officially is now. Early in Trump's, it wasn't. Now it's starting to increase the rate.
Yeah.
So that's that stat. Oh, yeah. By the way, $22.4 trillion, that's $182,000 per taxpayer. So if you're a taxpayer, your share is $182,000.
That's laid on to generations of taxpayers.
Exactly. Next one, U.S. total debt. This is national debt plus mortgages, auto, student loan, credit card. $73.6 trillion, so about 3.5 times larger than the national debt. So that's $604,000 per taxpayer. So if you, so the average taxpayer, put it all on their shoulders, you know, we're talking $600,000+.
How much of that has to be paid back without crashing the system? A lot of that could go bad debt.
So this is the interesting part.
Sovereign debt's not supposed to be go bad, right?
Right.
Federal default would be.
So we made the difference. So this includes also state and local. So, you know, yeah, you're right. State, local, and federal might have a longer runway. Eventually, you have to at least service the interest, though. And that's what I'm getting to.
States might go bankrupt.
Yeah.
They've talked about it. Connecticut, Illinois.
And who's the lender of last resort?
Federal.
National, and then that'd be the Fed again, and it'll just keep going that way. So now, the quickly looking at this, comes back to interest rates, and Powell saying he's going to lower interest rates. Look, at $73.6 trillion, we can agree that's never all going to be paid back. We have to make payments, and you have to have that interest, and you have to be able to cover the interest at least. Obviously, you want to pay some of the principal back at the same time. But if interest rates went up 1%, we're talking an extra $736 billion in interest every year.
To the United States.
Yeah, which is about 5% of our GDP.
Is that the federal?
No, that's for everything.
What would just Uncle Sam?
Just Uncle Sam would be about.
Mnuchin's department have to
be
pay.
About $220 billion in interest per year. Now, perhaps you know, for example, the B-21 Raider. It's a brand new nuclear bomber replacing the B-2 stealth bomber. They expect that entire program, including all development and production of, I don't know, let's just say like 100 bombers, to be $80 to $100 billion. So our major strategic stealth bomber, nuclear bomber, $100 billion, let's say, the interest rate would go up two of those programs per year if interest rates go up 1%. Talking every year, entire programs of just interest if rates go up 1%. Now you understand why they can't raise rates anymore. It's impossible.
Wow.
So these are the stats I threw out. Last final one. This is worldwide, so I kind of did national, then all U.S., and now worldwide.
One point wipes away one of those strategic upgrades of a bomber fleet.
Two.
Well, they just announced the upgrade to the Minuteman III replacement.
Okay.
Yes,
maybe combine those.
It has an acronym, but it's about the same price tag. It's to go out into the five bases in the West and change out all the ballistics.
And then I did an article on this long ago with the throne of the banksters. I think like a brand new Gerald Ford aircraft carrier is like $13 billion or something. I think it's $13-15 billion. So we're talking 10 to 12 aircraft carriers per year sunk to pay the interest.
Is Trump overspending?
Of course, some deaths, but you know.
Did Trump overspend just go along with those spending packages because he knew that once if he's really running $1 trillion, a year onto the national debt, then it has to keep the rates low, and because the rates have to be kept low, it's going to be jet fuel to the economy. He'll get reelected.
It's like not jet fuel to the economy, but just letting the economy continue to live barely.
No, this thing's
adrenaline
growing.
To keep
this
it alive.
This thing's growing. This is 3-4%.
Right. But then if you net out the $1 trillion, that's about 5% of GDP. And that's just that interest. So it's pretty much zero or slightly negative.
But that doesn't stop growth on the ground, people getting better off. That's happening.
Right. But, you know, a lot of that's occurring on paper. And you don't actually, you know, experience that wealth until you sell it. And then the problem is, you know, once someone starts selling, then the entire thing might start falling apart. It's a Ponzi scheme, I would say. No wonder they're pissed about crypto.
Is that what Deutsche Bank's called right now?
Yeah, I want to get into that. We are coming up on the break. But think of it that way. Again, very simple terms. If the Fed raises the interest rate 1%, we're going to be seeing $200 billion in interest per year. On the net.
They'll still order the bombers.
Well, of course.
They're going to get built.
They're just going to continue monetizing it. Exactly. Doesn't mean they're going to just, we're going to stop paying. But then it's a deterioration. Maybe they take away from the bridges. The bridges continue to crumble. Our train systems continue to be pathetic. Power outages getting worse in New York, et cetera, et cetera. We'll see. We'll be back. Second.
Folks, here's your chance. The Patriot Broadcasting Network has highly affordable advertising options for you. Our shows and our host websites have a very special audience. These are Americans who are preparing to take care of themselves and their families during difficult times. Start reaching this audience with your product, service, or cause. Interested in broadcasting your podcast on PBN? We're interested in talking to you about that, too. Don't wait. Email info@futuredanger.com for more information.
You are listening to the Patriot Broadcasting Network, sponsored by ReadyMadeResources.com.
We are back. Patriot Power Hour, second half of this 62nd episode. Yes, number 62, the season 7 premiere, July 17th, 2019. We're talking a little bit of economics. I guess we'll finish strong on Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank laid off, / fired 25% of their equities team, or actually the entire workforce, closed all of their equities, essentially will not be trading in stocks anymore. Why? Because it's pretty much a result and an ongoing lingering effect of the 2008 crisis, and that type of those type of issues never were resolved. And now Deutsche Bank is essentially going to be taken over by Germany. Or what they're really doing is breaking it into two banks now. The bad debts are going to be nationalized, and the good, you know, profitable, quote unquote, aspects of the business will continue on.
So they're just going to wash the stink off one side of the bank, and the stinky side becomes property of German government.
Yep, you got a private...
Or European Union.
I think it's the German taxpayers,
really,
you know, the European Union and Germany in particular, let alone other countries, are very highly
intertwined. They can't pass that cost along to the Greeks just for fun?
I don't know. They might get some olive oil thrown at them or something. That's a bad analogy. I don't know. Deutsche Bank could be the next Lehman. It seems like they might have it quarantined, but it's pretty much the same result though. Just very bad bets where they privatize the returns and gains and make public, i.e. put on the taxpayer's shoulders, when there's an error or major errors. You know, remember that major, what was it, $700+ billion, too big to fail bailout?
Yeah.
It's the same type of thing. Probably going to get even less money back. It's very possible Deutsche Bank may just end up going bankrupt in the end. Pretty much has, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah. Well, we're looking at the indicator bank simultaneously collapsing, which was what happened in the financial crisis of 2007. And the, you know, this bank runnish type behavior that we're looking for, you know, Deutsche Bank clients are pulling $1 billion a day, right? You know, all the hedge funds just whoosh, gone. They want their money and brought this thing down. Maybe it is being, you know, a controlled demolition, but, you know, we got a Bloomberg article simultaneous to this show. You know, the banks are just not holding loan loss reserves. They're not counting on people, companies, borrowers, not being able to pay back their debts. And so it puts them out way out on a limb in the event that the economy does take, you know, trade wars and whatnot. If the economy is the much heralded recession that we've talked about all through season 6 this spring, it doesn't seem to be materializing. We have outstanding job growth numbers, you know, pretty regularly, including the last one, which was quote unquote a surprise to the Bloombergers. But, you know, could you get a tipping point? And I'll bring it back there because I've said it a lot. If it comes true, I want to be on the record as the guy who made the analogy. If Donald Trump is to become Herbert Hoover, so that whoever the next FDR can go and run rampant on property rights, then these were the early days of that.
Oh, that's a good question. Is it being set up either on purpose or just going to be unfortunate timing that this thing had to blow up on someone's watch and that's his? I guess we'll find out. You know, I think earlier you had said sovereign debt doesn't need to be paid back necessarily. Well, all debt could be wiped out, but that, you know, you got to remember every piece of debt is someone else's asset. So all those pensioners out there, you know, they're surviving on $1,200 a month, let's say, off their old corporate pension, whatever. Well, if we wipe out a lot of the debt, their pension is going to be worth much less, maybe just totally, you know, liquidated for pennies on the dollar. Now, we're going to have to take our medicine at some point. The quandary is we can't just liquidate all the debt at once because everyone's assets will be destroyed and lose its structure. Is there a way to kind of, hey, everyone has to take a haircut. We can get rid of some of the debt. If you, you know, the treasuries that are in your pension or in your savings account, you lose 10% of the value, but we can wipe out half of debt. Maybe, probably not. What I'm saying here is, like, first off, thread the needle is just ridiculously impossible. If not, it might already be too late for this. But you got to remember, if you want to get rid of student loan debt, like the Democrats have been talking about, well, guess what? There's investors that consider those assets, and they're going to have to take a loss. And that may be okay if you don't own anything and you're kind of the bottom 50% or 30% of America and don't have any assets at all. You don't give a shit. But for kind of the middle class, upper middle class, what America is built upon, you need those property rights and some asset rights. So, you know, really this debt is a threat to property and personal rights, and very possible the next president or the one after that come through and confiscate or have bail-ins for sure.
So what happens when the federal government says no one has to pay back whatever, student loans, whatever. And then you say to the holders of the student loan or whatever that, we'll just pay you as if they were.
Right. Okay.
And we'll count up at Treasury. It's just another figure on the balance sheet of a country that, oh, yeah, as you mentioned earlier, has a fleet of stealth bombers that are the best in the world and has hypersonic ICBMs that get to all their targets, like, in tens of minutes at most from Nebraska. To keep adding numbers to it, or is there somewhere in the system where there's gonna be someone's gonna be choking on this, and it's gonna have to take a Heimlich to get people who will not invest, who will not place private equity into the marketplace, and it all freezes up. Can the government just stop it by just throwing more debt on the balance books? Because that seems to me what the outcome of 2007 collapse was. It's called TARP. It's part of that $22 trillion figure you just mentioned. Just put it on my tab.
They can pretty much do that as long as the U.S. dollar remains the reserve currency of the world. I mean, they have been for, you know.
And then let's say if it wasn't, then what?
Then the cost of oil will go to $200 a barrel.
We got our own. We got fracking. We could have a massive industry.
Well, we could do that. And we could switch, but it'll take, you know, that'll be a loss. It'll take time to switch back over, ramp those up. Each next barrel of oil fracking is more expensive than the last one in theory. So just, you know, incrementally be dangerous. I'm not saying to some degree we need to push this way and domestically, you know, rely on ourselves more, et cetera, et cetera. But just too big of a shock of the system the way it is now. We're already set up such a precarious, you know, just-in-time delivery system that, you know, essentially it'd be a full-on trade war, and you might as well consider it a modern-day embargo. We could survive if we grow our own food and stuff, but you're not going to be getting, you know, if you want some imported beer, it's going to be $40 for a six-pack.
So
$8.
The cost of a reset in that direction would be we have to pay more for imports?
That's a huge part of it. Everything would cost more, really.
Why?
And there'd be massive unemployment potentially too.
Well, why? If the demand was within the United States, I mean, we're talking about a non-free trade kind of conception, and traditionally, I've believed in, you know, the Smith invisible hand in free market trade. However, so much of the trade is with people who their tactics and techniques are not that of colonial England and 18th century Britain and Holland just sailing ships to each other.
Right.
We got strategies by, you know, Chinese industries to methodically take the intellectual capital and then bankrupt
right. The
origins of it, right?
And it's almost like we need to methodically reverse that, because if we go too quick, it's all going to fall apart and just cause massive damage. I mean, it took, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years to get into this. It's going to take maybe not that long to get out, hopefully. But many years, more than a decade, if we did the right thing. It's just a chocolate system. The time to kind of reallocate that capital would be painful and take a long time, but not impossible. The longer we go, the worse it's going to be. If we did it in 2008, I think we'd be already be over it, and we'd be humming along great and have a lot fewer problems. But things we added to it, and it's been, and what was before was festering, and then we added more stuff on top to cover it up. Now that's festering. So I definitely get where you're coming from, but that would be a, you know, just a minor reduction in the debt would cause major issues that we could work through, but would take many years. But if we were actually going to be like, hey, all student loan debt was totally wiped out, or hey, we're going to pay back, you know, or we're going to automatically balance the budget no matter what, just that by itself would lead to tens of thousands of people getting laid off. Maybe you say those government workers don't need to be being paid, they're waste. I could agree, but just all of a sudden, that massive shock of the system, they're not going to be going out to eat, they're not going to be, you know, they're going to maybe lose their home, they'll go bankrupt, they'll lower the loan creation.
They're not going to Aspen.
Definitely not going to Aspen. Government workers shouldn't be going to Aspen in the first place. Unless they're going to get lunch like me. So anyway, it's very complicated. We're in a very tough situation. I wish we could, you know, I want to talk solutions and how we could do it. That's, you know, a long, long show. And we got a lot of other stuff to talk about. So
yeah.
I know you wanted to cover a couple other things coming up on break, and we'll get to the final section of the show. But what do you want to cover?
I want to cover the Epstein news, a powerful pedophile, theoretically has potential to be, you know, an agent of a foreign state. Let's talk about what's happened with him since our last show. And then after the break, let's really get into what has been alleged against foreign entities in this case. All right. So going back to, March of this year, we had a model who exposed an elite pedophile ring, found dead. She was had predicted herself being killed, and that was abroad. These international sex rings that are assumed to happen, it's eyes wide shut. Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman. You ever see that movie?
Yeah.
That kind of
children,
cult like occult. All of those allegations, rumors, and conspiracies, we track them, and it's under powerful pedophiles exposed. Because were any of that to be substantiated, and I know there's listeners that are going to say, "Oh, it's real. We've seen enough," but most Americans haven't.
Yeah.
And this Epstein case is possibly a tipping point. All right.
Yeah.
Court orders release of sealed docs about Jeffrey Epstein pedo ring. That was July 4th. July 5th, court orders release of the sealed docs, and we're starting to get the Daily Beast have to respond to it. All right, Epstein arrested on the 6th. All right, so apparently the Southern District of New York that was touted to be the location of off-Mueller impeachable offenses against the Trump, against Trump world, right? We heard that when the Mueller report was came out and landed with a thud with no collusion, no obstruction.
No collusion.
Right. So this is a twist that's interesting to me. It's the Southern District of New York that made this happen. How did that happen? Did Attorney General Barr obtain control of that office, which it was touted by liberals as the place where they'd get Trump out of there,
right?
Well, they're definitely the ones that did this. Now there's this whole other angle that is emerging to me that potentially they found some tapes. And again, as of airtime this Wednesday, July 17th, today, I haven't checked the news out, but apparently there's rumored to be a tape of Epstein and Trump talking. They know that Trump flew on his plane. Trump has come out and said he did not fly to that island, but the plane was believed to have had bedrooms aboard it for these purposes with underage girls anyways. All right. July 13th. So Trump waited about 5 days. I was never there. Find out the people that went to the island. So he's doubling down. He wants to know the end. You know, I think he wants to see some truth come out. Obviously, Bill Clinton being the top name among those alleged to have gone there. And reports that are percolating in the non-establishment right side of the political spectrum where potentially Epstein is going to name individuals
hmm.
and avoid a maximum jail sentence. So where this ends up is anybody's guess, but the more that comes out, it's probably healthier for the Republic. After the break, we're going to get into the foreign intel side of this and what's reasonable to assert and what's not.
All right, look forward to that. Yeah, this is a pretty creepy topic, but we definitely got to talk about it, you know. If you know history, this type of stuff happens, unfortunately, a lot, way too often. So it's not that big of a surprise. So got to watch it, got to deal with it, even though it's pretty damn nasty. All right, there's the music. We're coming back to the final section, final part of Patriot Power Hour. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Do you want to build a website? Web-based Coding is a leading web design firm building websites since 1998. Veteran-owned and operated, Web-based Coding can build your website. They specialize in WordPress technologies. Develop a beautiful, pixel-perfect website that is stunning on computers, tablets, and phones. Web-based Coding can solve your business problems on the Internet, helping you brand or sell your product or service. This company excels in e-commerce through automation, user-friendliness, up-to-date security protocols, and well-written code. Do you have a WordPress website and struggle with it? Web-based Coding has programmers that can fix your site, speed it up, and add custom functionality. Call 239-362-6014 for a free consultation. Get a simple quote over the phone or visit webbasedcoding.com to view their portfolio and five-star testimonials. Do you want to build a website? It begins at webbasedcoding.com.
Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
What you gonna do when they show up in black suits? On your streets, not mixed boots, and then silence you. What you gonna say when they strip your rights away, and the tax man makes you pay? Let me be up what you've been today.
Welcome back to Patriot Power Hour, segment 4 of season 7 premiere episode. We do seasons, summer, fall, winter, spring, and try to just hit the equinoxes and the solstices and have a break and just keep a regular rhythm to Patriot Power Hour. So we just finished the spring. Now we're in the heat of July. We're going to July, August, September. They'll be hot months. Got to keep an eye out for where these types of news events lead us. We're talking about Epstein, what happened to him, arrested in New York, and the president's encouraging the authorities to really find out what happened there. Okay. Simultaneously to this, we have claims that Epstein had a state sponsor, was running a blackmail operation on behalf of a foreign country. All right. It's been asserted this is the Mossad, the Israeli intelligence. It's been alleged that they and in hand with the deep state in the United States, American intelligence agencies, may have decided the easiest way to control the president of the United States is through one of these means. And, of course, the flight documents that show Clinton flying 26 times, a number of times not with Secret Service guards. So obviously, the president has a right to reject his own guards, and they'll do it, apparently. Trump's been rumored to have done it.
Okay. I was going to say, are they allowed to? I don't know if they were. Maybe when they're not president. Or, I don't know. I figured they would refuse, you know, but maybe not.
Yeah, after being president.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean – ultimately, he can get away from his own guards if he chose, right? But the one that really turned it for me, the article along these lines, it's been long rumored that this could possibly be happening, and it does immediately go into a highly anti-Semitic vein if you're inclined to, you know, go there. I've always adopted the view right after I heard Alex Jones say it, is that, you know, every country has its gangs. Every nationality has its evildoers. They seek the power among the nations that you're from. So at the top of Israel, at the top of the United States, at the top of Britain, at the top of China, some more visible than others, bad actors have made it there, right? Germany, Japan, World War II, obviously. So if these very vicious intelligence agencies pulled something like this off and the Israelis were part of it or were the agency that did it, the light ought to be shed on it. And the problem with that is it's next to impossible to begin to talk about it because anti-Semitism will be brought straight to the forefront, right? Definitely. And there will be no end of actual anti-Semites that go all the way along with all the tropes, all the anti-Jewish sentiments and discussions that brought about the Holocaust, right? So and could it be that an intelligence agency, knowing that it's protected from public sentiment in that manner, would act this boldly to obtain control of organs of our power? If they did it, it's wrong. We have to know it happened, all right? So Alex Acosta has since resigned after Epstein's arrest last week, but Acosta was the a cabinet secretary to Trump and previously had been the federal prosecutor in Florida that was overseeing Epstein when the county officials brought the charges because there were mothers of these underage prostitutes that were speaking out, forced prostitutes. So at one point during the Trump administration's process of bringing in members of government, when Acosta was interviewed, he told people, this is above my pay grade. I was told Epstein, quote, belonged to intelligence and to leave it alone. One of those things, right? One of those, and this is just asserted to have happened before he became Labor Department Secretary, right? He since stepped down because the criticism swiftly came at him. It pretty much resembled the Southern Poverty Law Center, quote, slash CNN attack job that he had been prosecuted too lightly. But he had made it into the Trump administration and was confirmed by Congress, confirmed by the Senate as such. And he told the Trump administration, they belong to intelligence, leave it alone. So if Epstein it was an intelligence asset, if that is accurate, we have a something that, you know, there's going to be a ton of people up in Aspen with their head in the ground and never get it.
Yeah.
But the rest of us, exactly. The Patriots and this show, the Patriot Power Hour, is going to be rightly alarmed that we had that kind of control. And you see – if you lived through the days when you saw Denny Hester become Speaker of the House, you had to ask yourself, when all other speakers have been fairly flamboyant and that man in the 90s rose and sat in power, how that could be. And later to find out he was a pedophile. In fact, the idea that that's not a tactic used to control our politicians is really naive.
Yeah, you got to grow up, really. I mean, come on. It's like standard practice going back thousands of years in most human civilizations to use that type of blackmail. You know, maybe it used to be not as hardcore. It used to be just if you were gay or whatever or cheating on your wife. But now it moved to kids because the culture has just gotten a little crazier. But definitely it's happened before.
Wow,
it happened
yeah,
again.
You're right, too.
It's almost – yeah, right? So it's almost – when I say the word New World Order, I don't just think about like – 10 guys smoking cigars, thinking of the end of the world. It's stuff like this, you know, where national lines are blurred or just totally, it's over, it's supranational. It's above and beyond Israel and the U.S. This is a kind of deep state, clandestine, black, you know, cloak and dagger. That runs the gamut from military and space warfare all the way to blackmailing politicians. Some is a lot more disgusting than other, but it's all related. And maybe it's not just centralized, but this type of, you know, non-transparent and disgusting behavior is what I'm talking about when I say new.
Any member of any intelligence service that enabled that or found former members of their own organizations to do it because now they have some cut off from them No. If you did it, it's really, really was criminal. If Epstein, who's the quote-unquote billionaire whose finances are now in question, where exactly and when and how did he ever become a billionaire,
right?
Or did intelligence agencies enable him to become a billionaire by telling him about things?
Yeah.
Did Epstein trade before September 11th? Has anybody asked that question yet?
That's a great question.
Because I have no evidence that anything actually happened nefariously on September 11th, all the 9/11 truthers' evidence notwithstanding, it is not mainstream accepted that that was an intelligence operation run against the United States. But boy, has it been asserted, right? And if they could tie Epstein to having a position, shorting positions that became very profitable during that time frame, holy cow. That's revolt type material.
Yeah, that's just one example, definitely. And so, sitting here in our studio here, you know, we can't prove underage, breaking horrible things with underage girls and probably boys too. 10 years ago in an island, 3,000 miles away. But the evidence I've seen myself, not tapes, but they're definitely doing bad stuff. I'm glad, we're actually running out of showtime. I'm hoping that this is a new trend. These pedophiles are being called out. Some have gone so far as to say that Trump is helping push this along.
QAnon.
What do you think? Is he opening the floodgates? Or maybe he's just not getting in the way.
The Q followers are firmly believing that he's in there to undo this. Deeply dedicated to putting an end to the pedophilia in our government. That's a major driver of the whole QAnon, where we go one, we go all. Whole phenomenon is all about this.
Well, if you can unravel this thread and a few key players go down, maybe they start to snitch, or just the entire trust of the world, they're like, wow, these freaking politicians and billionaires are freaking pedophiles and just psychopaths. Maybe that'll help, the groundswell of patriotism worldwide. That's all.
Or comes episode 63 next Wednesday, 8 p.m. We're going to go to new time, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Wednesdays. And come that time, if Epstein is dead in jail, we'll also know some things. Or at least we'll know that we get to continue suspect some things.
There you go. The wheel in the sky keeps on turning, as one great song said. End of the show, end of episode 62. We'll continue, as Dan said, next week. New time, same date, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern. Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern. But of course, you can always find our archive at futuredanger.com or blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Future Dan, have a good week. I'll see you next time. Network. We're always doing our best to try to bring you unfiltered grassroots news and analysis. But guess what? We need your help. If you have questions or suggestions, if you want to be a guest or know someone who'd like to share their insights with us live on the air, please do reach out. You can find all of our contact information, social media, at blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Let us know how we can better our fight against the Bankster globalists and their cabal. We need your help. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network, or even search Patriot Broadcasting Network on Google and look for our Don't Tread on Me logo. Keep up the good fight.